Well, today is a special day on the podcast because I'm introducing you to my very first guest, the lovely Emily Willett, a British expat living in France, who is now living her best French life, helping to run a cognac estate in the Charente department. From working in the vines to marketing Pierre Lacat cognac, Emily appears to have the dream job. She speaks fluent French and spends her days in the beautiful Poitou Charente countryside. But is it all it's cracked up to be? Well, we're going to find out. But before we do, I want to remind you to go to lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast and subscribe so you never miss an episode and so you get VIP access to all the special offers I find out about during the course of the year, from hotel deals, special offers on tours, cruises, and everything in between. You do not want to miss out. So make sure you go and subscribe right now. Bonjour and welcome to the Life in Rural France podcast. I'm Kylie Lang, a British blogger living in the beautiful Charente region of rural France with my long-suffering hubby Richard and border collie Lottie. Now, unlike most people, moving to France hasn't always been my dream. But that didn't stop me jumping at the chance when hubby, who has never lived anywhere other than Leeds, England, suggested we go live in France. And 6+ years later, we're still here, living in a property we've renovated and a life that if you told me 10 years ago I'd be leading, I would not have believed you. But it's not all about me on this podcast. I'm going to be sharing the hidden gems I've discovered in France, some fascinating stories about French history, and plenty of culture thrown in for good measure. So I invite you to join me on this journey of living in a tiny French commune, getting to grips with learning French, singing to ABBA in the fields, walking my dog, and discovering the joys of the rural life. One thing I can promise you is it won't be boring. And who knows what we might discover together on this roller coaster ride of life in rural France. Emily, you are my first guest on the Life in Rural France podcast, which is rather exciting. So welcome to my podcast. I am super excited to have you here and to tell everybody all about who you are, what you do, because we met when I came for the harvest in October of last year, which I think was, 2023, which was a very exciting day because I got to pick grapes and see them all whizzed around and smashed up and put into grape juice and all that wonderful stuff. So that's how we met, but that's not what people are interested in today. They want to hear your story. So I want to know, what was it that brought you to France?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on a podcast. I'm very happy to be here.
No problem.
Why France? Purely for the reason initially that my husband's father-in-law had a house here. So we had come here many times for holidays after our ski season in France. We spent about a month here. And I guess when we first came here, there was just something that pulled on our emotional heartstrings. We really fell in love with the architecture, and it felt very, very like worlds apart from our life in London. So when we reached a point where London was no longer giving us pleasure and was actually creating more issues in our life than positive ones, we decided, why not come out and explore life in rural France for a year? So that's what we did.
As you do.
Exactly. In April 2016, my husband and I, well, he wasn't my husband at that point, but my partner of a very long time, we moved over here in a white van with our cats and our houseplants and some questionable furniture, and set about exploring what it would be like to live here for a year. So we haven't looked back.
Oh, so originally you came over just for a year. That was kind of like the experiment.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, without getting too deep and too personal, I lost my mother about a year prior to moving out, and it just felt like the time to I don't know, seek something with a little bit more value, to try something new, to try something slower. And we did come out here with the intention of just seeing what would happen and what positive stuff would come out from it. But I don't ever think that we thought when we moved out here for a year that we would end up where we are now, i.e. never wanting to leave. It was just a really, really positive experience. And I think quite early on, we realized that we wanted to probably explore how we could stay here. So, yeah, it's been great.
It's funny, isn't it, how the Charente just draws you in, because it is one of those places that I think I had a very similar experience to you when we first moved over here. Because we actually ended up moving over in the same year. We were 2016 as well, believe it or not, although your French is way better than mine. But when we first moved over, I didn't think I would cope with how quiet life is over here. I thought I was going to be hankering to go back all the time. And that just didn't happen. In fact, the opposite happened. I just didn't want to leave. I never wanted to go back to the UK other than to see family. So I completely understand how it just draws you in. It suckers you in. You become part of this special life. And before we came on, you and I were talking about pace of life and just appreciating life and really thinking about the good things in life and not being in such a hurry to go at everything all of the time. And I think that's one of the joys of living here, don't you?
I massively agree with that. I think that, you know, I did fashion at uni. I come from a fairly cosmopolitan lifestyle whereby, you know, we used to go out and eat food all the time, go out shopping, have access to great shops and local amenities. And when we came out here initially, that feeling of, oh, how am I going to survive? But actually, I think what I have realized and what has made such a massive difference in my life is that I don't need that to be happy. Like, what I need to be happy is space, is real relationships, is connection to the land, and actually connection to traditional and kind of historical practices. I know that sounds kind of like I don't know. I really value paysan culture, which they have in the Charente, which is typically lots of allotments, which we see more and more in the UK. And it's fabulous that that is now becoming more apparent. I can't speak to anywhere else, but obviously that's my experience. But this idea that we support each other in a community, that everybody has a role or a skill set or they do things and everyone does it with an attention to detail and with a kind of a slow attitude. It's really good for mental health. It's really good for physical health. And I've just taken so much benefit from it. And I still love going for a brunch when I'm back in the UK. I still love going shopping with my sisters when we meet up in Europe. But I always feel very grateful for the fact that the things I take pleasure in now are not forcibly the things that I took pleasure in when I was younger. I feel a real sense of calm since moving to the Charente. I don't know about you, but it just feels like a settling, calming place.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And I am absolutely the same as you. If somebody had told me 7 or 8 years ago, I'd get immense pleasure from planting strawberries and watching them grow, I would have said to you, you are out of your tiny mind. Because exactly. That just was not the Kylie of 10 years ago. The Kylie of 10 years ago lived in America, had an amazing, what I thought at the time, an amazing life, doing all these different things, being busy, running a business, you know, having a family, et cetera, which I don't regret any of those.
Of course, but it's part of the journey.
It is part of the journey. And when you come over here, you realize that the values change. And I think to a degree, you have to be ready for it. And I was certainly ready for it at my stage in life. I mean, I'm going to be 53 this year. And when I first moved over, I think I'd got to that point where I was ready to slow down, give myself time to smell the roses, so to speak, and take joy in the little things, be appreciative of what's around me, look at nature, you know, take pleasure in the colours of the flowers as I'm walking my dog. It's all these little things that you don't think about, But you do when you move over here. And as you say, those allotments, that living off the land, where we are, we're actually, our house is actually part of what was an old castle. So we've still got the old well, the old bread oven and that type of thing. And being surrounded by history like that, as you were saying, is something so special to me. And you can feel it oozing out of every wall of every village here. And I think that makes a big difference too.
I think you're totally hitting it on the head. I think there is something about the Charente. I don't know whether it's the stone. I don't know whether it's the old paysans that are still, you know, flying the flag and the new generation that are coming through. But through renovating our home, which we ended up buying in 2018, and uncovering and undoing a lot of bad work that had been done to the house, you know, finding marks on the wall from 1782, finding notes about people in the house and all this kind of thing. It's just, I don't know, it feels like we have a responsibility to continue. And it feels now like actually like I have a responsibility to continue those traditions. And I feel good about that, you know. I think in a world where...
Completely understand.
Do you? So like in a world where like maybe Johnny and I would have been, because my husband was a chef in London and was working 9 hours a week, and I was, you know, jack of all trades and master of none, but working really, really hard as well, mostly in sales, but not really knowing what I wanted to do. Coming out here and feeling a passion for food and the possibility of growing our own and doing things that were more accessible with not that much investment. Like, I'm not trying to build an idea that moving out here is a cheap exercise. It's not. I would caution anybody to come out here because finding work is not that easy. But coming out and realizing dreams is, you know, you can renovate an
old house. It's totally doable.
It is. But you do need to have a good base of
you do.
A good financial base and a financial understanding. And the possibility to either, you know, live within a budget or support yourself financially through work or investments. That's, you know, that is something that needs to be quite clear. There's a lot of programs in the UK. I know that, you know, it's like moving to rural France is fabulous and wonderful. It's also quite expensive. But it's completely possible. I don't want to tarnish any dreams, but I do think it's important to note that.
Definitely. And of course, we know that you work in a very special place, which we're going to talk about in a moment, because I know a lot of people want to know what it is you do and how you got into it. But just sort of a little bit further on that note of the cost of living, it's a question we do get on a regular basis. You know, how much does it cost to live in rural France? But even though a lot of things are more expensive, I mean, you're not going to find a tin of tomatoes for 9p like you might do in Asda. It doesn't work that way. But what you do get is amazingly fresh produce. But again, I think for me, that was a bit of a challenge at the beginning because I wasn't used to eating seasonally. I was used to going to Asda or Tesco's or, you know, wherever I happened to be, Walmart or wherever I was living at the time, and being able to get anything and everything my heart desired. And it doesn't work that way in rural France.
I'm so glad you put this up, Carlene. I really am, because it's something that obviously I am a proper foodie, as is my husband, as I'm sure lots of people are that are listening, and there is absolutely no judgment. But unfortunately, the system currently, you know, in supermarkets means that everybody has access to everything all the time and it's cheap. Shouldn't be. However, one thing I would like to say is that my food shop for a week is around about €70, and that's buying everything from my local market. And that's organic vegetables, that's fresh meat, that is fish from the Poissonnière. You know, it's like there is access to incredible fresh seasonal ingredients out here. And I think that that is also an important part about the culture that I love out here, is that we should be eating seasonally. Asparagus should only be available between the months of, end of March and beginning of May, sadly, because I would eat it every day if I could for the rest of my life. But
Found some the other day. I was doing cartwheels because I finally got my hand on
spring
asparagus
has arrived.
The other day. Yeah, exactly. But you're so right. The seasonal side of eating here, it takes some getting used to, but you know
what? It does.
It's fun. because it, you can plan out your menu accordingly. And I love it. I love having to do that.
I know. And also it marks points in the year. I don't know. I think we as a couple could never live somewhere that just had like a single climate, because you suffer during winter. And my goodness, have we suffered this summer, this winter? It's been raining nonstop. And we're ready for spring, and then the asparagus comes, and then the tomatoes come, and the herbs come, and it just does feel like a really kind of a joyful way of calendaring the year by food, you know? What better way is there to celebrate and mark occasions other than eating well? and drinking well.
I mean, that's part of French life, isn't it? Bread, cheese, wine, you know? Just the staples of what we survive on over here. But I do love the fact that we get to do this.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is one thing that I massively, massively love. I mean, I'm Scottish. I don't sound it at all. But there is a real sense of pride in Scottish ingredients. And I think that moving out here has made me only more acutely aware of produce from different areas and knowing the provenance of things and understanding where your food comes from as well. You know, people work really, really hard, and living in the Chiron, it's quite nice because you get a bit of proximity and a bit of closeness to those people that are providing you with these wonderful ingredients, whether that's through local markets, whether that's through understanding who these people are in your local community. It's definitely a positive I find to shopping local.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And of course, we have all of those markets. I think literally you could go to a daily market pretty much every single day. There is a different market available within at least 10 kilometers. You know, it's so easy to shop organically without actually having to pay for it, because it is literally straight from the ground. It's great. So that is a big benefit. But something that you mentioned earlier, which is a very serious point, is, you know, you can't just move over here on a wing and a prayer. You have to either have savings, you've got to have a form of income. And as great as Gîtes are, it's something that everybody does. So it's highly competitive. But I want to know how you got into doing what you do, because obviously we met at Le Cap, which is a fabulous cognac distillery, and I had a wonderful time there. But I want to know,
loved having you. You're the most glamorous grape picker I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I think everybody would love to do what you're doing, you know, working with cognac. It's like the dream, isn't it, to work in a French vineyard? But tell me all about it.
Well, to give you a bit of context, so I moved to France with Johnny in 2016, and we didn't really have much of a plan. As I said, we came out here to test the waters. I think we thought we were going to set up a river cottage style setup initially, to be honest. Johnny has experience in chefing and brewing, and we kind of wanted to live the good life, and quite quickly realized that we needed money to buy a house.
As you do.
And Johnny got a job straight away. He is an engineer at the base, but that was kind of by the by. I started out doing immobilier, which is estate agency. I think it's a really good tool for people that want to come out. And there's a lot of people who obviously want to buy, expats that want to buy in this room, but it wasn't for me. I ended up then going into a local kind of community setup called the Chantier d'Insertion, which is a complicated way of saying that I was essentially being given a kind of, I don't know whether they've got similar schemes in the UK or the US, where a commune or a village has a certain government allowance to employ people to undertake jobs in the local community. So what that enabled me was a means for learning more French and for improving my business French and just kind of getting to know people. As my French got to a good enough level, I'd made enough contacts through my own networking, I would probably say, but also through kind of existing relationships with somebody who had a local cognac business, and they were looking for a more seasonal or permanent seasonal worker to potentially be at the shop every other day. And I just really worked hard at my French. I improved by going to lessons. I did everything that I could and was in my power by mingling and hanging out with local French people, having friends over for dinner, asking people to correct me, reading French literature. And as my French got to a good enough point, my career in Pierre Lacat changed from being somebody who worked in the vines to being somebody that that took on like doing local tours, doing sales, and eventually now I'm now doing all of our events and our kind of global exporting and importing, well, not importing, but exporting and kind of product development. So it's exciting. It's taken...
That's huge.
And I would like to say that I'm not a very confident person. It's been a challenge, the French part.
Really?
Yeah. I know I come across as being quite confident.
Well, both. Yes, you do.
No, not intelligent, but confident. But I don't really feel like I have the French capabilities to charm the French market or the experience to charm the English market. So it's a crisis of confidence sometimes. But I believe in what I do. I believe in the product, and as you've pointed out, there are lots of people that I would love to do what I do. And so I don't ever forget that. And I really try my hardest to use that as a driver, I guess.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. And very much when I first met you on that harvest time in October, it really came across how passionate you were, and everybody had a ball. And just to let everybody know,
we love it.
Oh, I mean, we all got invited, and there was quite a big group of people there who mm-hmm. took part in picking the grapes and then seeing those grapes crushed, getting to drink the grape juice directly from where they'd just been crushed, the grapes that we'd actually picked. It was amazing. Mm. It was such a lovely day. I mean, we were lucky. The weather was amazing.
We were, because the year before it was awful.
Well, I don't know. Somebody was looking out for us that day because it was a beautiful day. But your passion really came across. But one thing that struck me was, as Nikki and I were busy picking grapes, I realised what hard work it is. So how long did you spend sort of out in the vines doing that hard work, and what was it really like?
So seasonal vine work is hard work. You know, you're out in all the elements. We as a business are predominantly machine led, so we don't use sprays or chemicals to do the work that we need to do. And as you know from living here, weather can be fairly unpredictable. So you have a short window yes. in which to get everything done. And so, you know, it's tiring, it's exhausting. But there's something about being outside, as you said earlier, being outside in nature as well. You feel very liberated, very free. You see the things growing. So, like, obviously, the initial part of viticulture is kind of cutting off all the dead stuff and pulling all of that and letting it just go to waste and rot and compost in the vines itself, giving back to nature. And then out of nowhere, these little tiny green shoots appear. And then from that period, which is pretty much in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be doing everything that we can to look after and manage our vines until the springtime when we do the harvest. And that is a full-on job that requires human intervention, that requires mechanical intervention. And it's a 24-hour job reliant on good weather as well, you know. There are lots of different things that can affect it. I did that for around about a year, but quite quickly we realised that there was a strong UK client base that were wanting to experience viticulture and understand a bit more about how cognac was made. So I kind of transitioned into that after about a year and a half, 2 years of working at Lacat. So yeah.
Well, you certainly gave it a long time.
I did. I do miss being in the vines. Quite often I go into work at about 8 o'clock in the morning and I drive past all the workers and I either stop and have a coffee and a croissant with them. Or I'll go back and I'll just kind of take an eye on what they're doing. Because it's a really, really enjoying job. It's a really enjoyable job. But there are lots of seasonal work, lots of seasonal positions, in the vines. So people who are looking to come over, that's always an option, actually. Seasonal viticulture work is really, really possible out here in the Charente and the wider area as well.
And do you need to speak French to be able to do that, or could you get by with very little French?
You could get by. You could be employed to do the things like relevage, which is lifting wires and lowering wires and attaching vines. You could do that pretty autonomously. However, you know, what would be nice is that when you get together for a coffee, when everybody reaches the end of that row, that you all have a little exchange, and that would be a good opportunity to learn and practice French as well. So I think seasonal vine work is a really, really good means for people to get integrated into a community and understand a little bit more about the traditions that we have here as well.
And you know what? That is so important. It's certainly been a game changer for me, because for the first year and a half, I realized what I'd done was picked up my life and plonked it somewhere different. That was all.
Yeah.
Nothing had changed. I wasn't actually appreciating what was around me. I hadn't allowed myself to be immersed in the local community or the French culture. I was kind of living an English life in France, which just felt so wrong. And so I completely understand what you're saying. And it's not been till I've really put myself out there. And the way I did this was very strange, really. I decided that I was going to join a local line dancing group. And as you do, having never line danced before in my life.
But they love line dancing out here. So yeah.
Oh, don't they? And that's what I discovered. I'm like, oh, what a fun thing to do. And so I went along, and I have to say, the most intimidating thing I've ever done in my life is open that door, walk through it, and know that really all I could do was say, bonjour tout le monde. And that was about it. And so from there, it's developed, and I'm now a couple of years down the line with it, and I am a huge integral part of that community now. And I love it because it's really brought my French along.
And also just, and well, that's such a lovely story, but also how lovely that it's given you that confidence to, like, a space where you can explore that French side of yourself.
Yeah.
In a kind of new context as well. I think this is the thing. We can sometimes feel like there's a block or there's a barrier. And I think that's just in our heads, but it might also exist, let's be honest. And it's really lovely that there are lots of activities like line dancing, like seasonal work, like salle de fête events, where we can break down those barriers and share moments together and share culture and try and communicate with each other in a way that feels kind of easy and really, really fun, you know?
And I think that's the important piece that a lot of people miss, because they are missing out on so much by not being part of that. And you mentioned the salle de fête, and that's something else that I did. I made myself join the local committee for my local salle de fête. And again, not one of them speaks English. And it was the most challenging thing I've ever done. But I went for it. And I don't regret it at all, because somehow or another, I've managed to bond with these people. And it's been so much fun being involved in the different events that they put on, the stuff that they do. And they do so much. And so you're missing out on so much if you don't put yourself out there and become involved. And they are so welcoming. If you meet them halfway and you try to speak French, even if it's terrible, which mine still is, despite having had, you know, 2 years.
Yeah, English is probably terrible as well, you know. It's a two-way thing. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. You've hit the nail on the head. If you try, I don't know about you, Kylie, but I never thought that I could take so much pleasure in a packet of chips with salt and kind of like rubbish mayo on it. Like, I think this is the thing, that moving to rural France, I've just realised that pleasure comes in the most simplest form. It's really about sharing experiences and not necessarily teaching people anything, but taking pleasure in really simple things, actually. Doesn't need to be complicated. Doesn't need to be elaborate and exuberant in order for it to be a really wonderful thing. It's, the smallest gestures, the smallest things make the biggest difference. And I think that is probably my most positive takeaway from moving to France, actually.
It's the most perfect thing to hear, because I can relate to that. And I think that's what people need to remember, that you can't just pick up the life that you've got in the UK or the US or Australia or Canada and plonk it into the middle of rural France.
You know, I sometimes feel when people come out here and they're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, hopefully we're going to drink quite a lot of nice wine and we're going to eat quite a lot of nice food and we're going to read books and we're going to swim and we're going to lie around. Does that sound okay? And anybody that questions that sounding okay has got a problem with me.
You're absolutely right. It is the wonderful thing about this French way of life that both you and I have embraced wholeheartedly, is it's having that ability to appreciate the free things in life, the easy things in life, to be able to slow yourself right down, not be in such a hurry to do everything and be everywhere and tick everything off your list. And it isn't about how much you earn or what car you drive or, you know, what your job title is. It's just about
that wonderful.
It's really not. It's not like that over here. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned. And it sounds like you have too. You summed it up beautifully in your description of life here in rural France. You really have. And I'm really pleased you got to do this and you got to talk to me about it.
And on a personal level as well, you know, it's not been easy leaving friends and family. It's another thing to consider, because when you move abroad, you're always going to have that difficulty. And I think you need to have a fairly strong sense of self, whether that's something that you have before you move over somewhere or whether it's something that you achieve afterwards. But just understanding exactly what you've said, that, you know, that you get a lot from slowing down and you get a lot of value from valuing the friendships that you want to invest in and all that kind of thing. It's important as well, I think. But understanding that moving away from friends and family is a bit of a challenge, but it doesn't mean that those relationships are any less significant because you're further away. I think that's something that's also important to say.
It is, and having a support network around you, because you are quite isolated. We certainly are. There's no such thing as Uber. That doesn't exist. In fact, taxis in general don't really exist. So, you know, you can go. I know that there's been times when I've taken, and quite often I take the dog for a walk and I don't see another living soul. Now, I actually quite like that because I'm an ABBA fan, and so therefore I like to sing when I'm walking the dog. So I don't want to see anyone when I'm doing that. I'd rather not.
Can I come dog walking with you, please?
I have a fabulous playlist that my dog Lottie and I enjoy very much. And the other thing that I will share with you is the only way I managed to keep up with the line dancing group that I'm now in, because I've now been moved up to the advanced group. Oh, yes. Is I have to practice. And where do I practice? In the woods, when I'm walking the dog. It's the best place to practice because the ground is soft, it doesn't hurt my knees, and my dog just thinks I'm absolutely insane. She whizzes around me as I'm practicing my steps. I've been caught a few times, but hey-ho.
So I let you into a secret. I think your dog thinks you're the best person on the planet, and now so do I. I really, really want to come on a line dancing forest session with you. That sounds great.
It does. You are welcome anytime. Well, Emily, you have been an absolute pleasure to have as my very first guest. I knew we would have a great conversation, which we have. And thank you for taking the
You're
time.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for asking me. I feel very privileged, and I just want to reiterate that Life in Rural France as a blog is something that I think is wonderful. You highlight so much about what there is to offer in France, but you also give a really deep historical part of research that I think not many people do, and I commend you for that, because I think it gives a really great overview and a great passion towards other people moving out here. So, yeah, well done you.
Well, thank you. I do enjoy it. I love doing the research. And my catchphrase, so every member of my family tells me, and the one where they just want to pick up and run, is when they hear me say, did you know? And then everybody runs in the opposite direction because they know what's coming. Well, they don't, but they know it's going to be something that I have recently discovered and found passion over. And yeah, so it's all good fun. But thank you. I do appreciate that. Emily, thank you so much. And where can people find you and Lecat if they want to look you up?
So Pierre Lecat Cognac is available online at cognac-lecat.com, or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Pierre Lecat Cognac. We're going to be in the UK in a week's time at a cognac festival. Other than that, you can find us locally, regionally, and online through various sources, all listed on our website. So very happy to also receive any messages via Instagram, Facebook as to where you can find our products.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing Emily's story as much as I did. And maybe it's inspired you to make the move to the Chiron as well. But next week, I really hope you're going to join me because we're going to go on an escape to the Chateau in the Charente. I'll be whisking you away on a virtual tour of stunning chateau where you're going to hear all about the history behind each one, how one of the owners escaped death at the hands of the Nazis, not once, but twice, and the links that each one has to the UK and French royal families. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Life in Rural France podcast. Remember to visit lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast to get notified every time I release a new episode. And if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love you to leave me a review and subscribe. And don't forget to send in your questions for Listener of the Week, where I answer your questions about France in the show. So until the next time, I hope I've filled your life with a sprinkle of French sunshine and a lot of French fun.